when we were praying this morning, some of them had a delightful word for me, because God's got a huge sense of humour, that actually I chucked my papers up in the air. These are my papers, but I'm not going to do it literally. But I am just going to trust God that actually he'll highlight what he wants to highlight and he'll get rid of what he wants to get rid of. Is that okay? Yeah, are we ready for a little journey then? Okay, yes, all right. So if you've never been with us before, welcome. It's fab to see you. Tea and coffee round the other side of the curtain at the end. But you're also more than welcome to stay in here and just let God meet with you. If you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been looking at limitless God, haven't we? His limitless love, faith, grace, and I forget the other one, so that is how bad my memory is at the moment. If you've not heard them, I'd encourage you to get them on CD. Is that all right? Brilliant, okay. And I don't know if you can trawl your brains back to before Christmas. You know, in between all the Christmas festivities, we were actually looking at the Gospel of John, John 15. Bob introduced us to it about the vine and staying connected. Then I had the pleasure of following on from him. And it didn't register till I started preparing for this that I've been given the next bit too. So God really does have a huge sense of humour. So John 15, that particular chapter, I don't know if you can remember it, but it was Jesus having his last meal with his mates, the 11 disciples. And he's having a meal with them when he knows that one of them is going to be a little bit naughty later on and actually tell others who he is, that they nab him. And they didn't know that after the meal he was going to be leaving them. And it was as if Jesus had arranged a leaving party without the disciples, his friends, knowing that it was a leaving party. And back in that time, in all the travelling and that, you got really dirty, muddy, gross feet. And so it was a habit when you went into someone's home that the servant or the slave would get down on their knees and wash your hands and wash your feet even, not your hands. Okay, and that's what Jesus does when the disciples come in. They're actually met by him and he washes their feet. And part of his getting them together for this meal was because he knew that after he'd gone, they would struggle. They'd get distracted by the world around them. And I know what that's like. They'd forget what he'd shown and what he'd taught them. All sorts of stuff would get in the way of their friendships with each other and with him. So imagine that we're entering the TARDIS and we're just about to go back in time to November and to the last time I was speaking from John. No, Rich talked last week about limitless love, and back in November I was talking about, you know, that feeling when we're in love and how actually God's talking about a love that lasts much longer than that. But that when we fall in love, we want to be in the room with them, don't we? We want to share as much of life with them. We want to get to know them as much as possible. And we were talking about that that was the love relationship that Abba Father wanted with us. And that the love that we're talking about isn't the wishy-washy, subjective love of the world. I've fallen in love. Goes my heart. But it's that definite, unchanging, unyielding, unending, solid, everlasting, faithful love of God. Full stop. End of. And that he gets real pleasure and joy out of that relationship with us. That when we're thinking about him, you know, whether it's sat on the loo, walking to work, walking to school, that our thoughts are constantly about him, that we invite him into all aspects of our life. And what I love is that God doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't force himself into our lives. We are given that choice, aren't we? Again, Rich touched upon it last week. Go back to November. So what else does Jesus go on to encourage his mates about? That's what we're going to have a little look at. But I ended back in November talking about how God wanted to be your Valentine. And it wasn't Valentine's then, was it? But as that's been and gone and we're still in February, a bit more appropriate. But you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he so loved you. each one of you sat there, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means he wants to be our best friend. He wants to love us and be loved by him. So it was a challenge. Would we allow him to be our Valentine? So now we get into what I was actually given, John 15:12-17, okay? This is my commandment, that you love... Oh, and it's the Amplified version, just in case you're thinking this doesn't look like mine. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you my friends because I've revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've appointed and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and last. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name as my representative, he may give to you. This is what I command you, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. Lots of words there, aren't there? Message puts it very simple. Best way to love is put your life on the line for your friends. And remember the root command, love one another. So where do we go from here? You know, so when everything is said and done, deep down, we all value friendship and community, don't we? And I think we'd be lying to ourselves and to others if we said, I'm not bothered if I don't have any friends. I'm not bothered if I'm part of a family or not. Actually, that's a lie. We can't deny it. We can't keep it suppressed down inside of us. We can't shake it. Why? Because God wired all of us with a need for friendship. And Jesus' words in John 15 apply to everyone. So to those who have friends, to those who feel maybe they don't, to the extrovert and the introvert. And if you don't know what those words mean, come and ask me afterwards. And as we seek friendship with Jesus and one another, we can get deeper and deeper friendships. Okay, a little quote from Cookie Monster on the screen. Now, a friend is someone to share the last cookie with. Don't know if you've ever shared your last Rolo, but what does friendship look like to you? Because it will look different to you, how it does to me, to the person sat next to you. You know, we're friends with some, aren't we? But perhaps not with others. Friendships are confusing, they're complex. But Jesus is chatting in these verses with his best mates, giving them some of his wisdom that would help them build and keep good relationships with him and good relationships with others. So that's what we're going to have a little look at. Okay. This is my commandment, that you love one another. I used to hate that word. I don't anymore, but I did. You know, friendship involves loving one another. Ooh, some of you might think. Jesus loves us. That's his command. That we've got to go to all of each other, sat in this room, and those that are on holiday or sick, and love one another. And what's good, or what's tough about these verses, is they start with and end with that same command. I'm to love you, Rosalie, Rosina. Get names right as well. No. But God doesn't force himself upon us. I still get to choose in that. So Jesus isn't telling them a suggestion or a perhaps. He isn't saying, this is my commandment that you like one another, Leon. No, because actually he knows what we're like. If we're honest with ourselves and others, there are some Christians we like and there are some that we don't. Now, for whatever reason, it might be you don't like my personality, character, how I speak, how I smell, which class in society I was born into. Whatever it can be, we might just simply not have the chemistry that makes us click. And you know what? That's okay. It is, because we're not commanded to like each other. We're commanded to love one another. I'm commanded to seek God's highest for you. And that goes against the grain of what we're brought up with, isn't it? Of what society says. No, but the Bible talks about a love called agape, if I've said it right. A-G-A-P-E. love. Okay? We're told that with society says love, you can't turn it on and off. You either fall in love or you fall out of love. Now, if I'm thirsty, I could get off my seat, I could walk down the hall to the kitchen, I could turn on the tap and guzzle as much water as I wanted to, couldn't I? That is a decision that I've made up here in my will. We're told that agape love is just like that water tap. I can choose to turn it on and I can choose to turn it off. And some of you have done, or are doing, the Keep Your Love On course. And that's what this is all about. Agape love. And I'm like, well, what does that mean, God? It's that divine, as it says on the screen, active, unconditional, self-sacrificing, thoughtful love. It's an unconditional love that I give to you, even if it doesn't benefit me in any way. Even if I'm not going to get love back. Or, you know, when God's been softening me with in terms of hugging, because that's one way we demonstrate love, isn't it? So those of you who would have known me back when I was 19, 20, there's no one sat in this room, I would have given you a punch in the stomach if you'd come to give me a hug. But they kept going. Even though they knew the reaction that they would get, they gave me that unconditional love. And one day, I learned to receive it and I learned to give hugs back. So unconditional love, that I choose to love you irrespective of what you're like, irrespective of what you do, and irrespective of whether I get that back from you or not. And we've all read Corinthians. We might have been at weddings where you hear about love is patient, love is kind, it does not anger, it does not grow weary. You can go and read it if you like. And the Bible tells me that without love, I'm a clanging gong. So I guess that's one of the biggest things that God's been showing me, that Jesus has been showing me, that as my best friend ever, he loves me because he loves me because he loves me. Would I have been a person to have got down on the floor and played with your children? I don't think so. But actually, now I love it. I might have to get on a chair though. No guarantee I'll get up from the floor. And some of the greatest love moments that I've had in the last few months, it's one of them where a little girl gets really excited when I've gone to stay over to babysit. She can't wait to play with me. She can't wait to show me her bedroom, what's changed in her bedroom, none of that. Now, once upon a time, I would thought, yeah, right, you're their child, nothing to do with me. But actually, that opportunity to love them, to spend time with them, it's an honour, actually. It's a privilege. If you're not a fan of Mr. Bob Squarepants Spongy Man, then you won't like the picture, but that's okay. Now, somebody else introduces me as his adopted big sister, and I got invited to celebrate his birthday with him and his family and some of his mates. They were going around a room full of trampolines. They were going to go and eat some KFC, yum yum, and goodness knows what. So I'm being invited to a 10-year-old's birthday celebration, wasn't I, Danny? No. Now, once upon a time, I would have thought, no way. What have I got in common with a bunch of 10-year-olds? Hello. No, and I'm not a parent. I haven't sprogged. But do you know what? It was a brilliant day. It was brilliant to celebrate with him and his family and friends. It was great to get to know his friends. Were there other things that I could have been doing on that day? Quite possibly. But agape love is that actually I'm going to go and spend that time with you. That's what, when the Bible talks about dying to your own life, that's what we're talking about. We all have expectations of each other, don't we? We might not say them out loud, but we do. We all have expectations of each other. And in that, we then all have expectations of God. And when God doesn't exactly do what we think he ought to do in our personal lives, we can get a little bit disappointed. We can even get a little bit angry, mad, sad. That's exactly the same as what can happen between you and I. You know, we have expectations, whether they're right expectations or not, and we can feel let down and we can become frustrated. So if I fail to meet your expectations, will you still love me with that agape love? Because that is what we all need. You know, Jesus is talking to his mates, and more than that, he's demonstrating to them through his everyday actions what agape love and friendship is all about. Selfless service. He washed those disciples' grimy, grungy, grotesque feet on the one night of all nights that really they should have put Jesus first. He put them first. His entire life consisted of putting others first. And if we're to be like him, then that's our challenge, isn't it? When these verses talk about dying to ourselves, it's not that physical death, but it is actually what would be best for you. What would enable you, encourage you, spur you forward in God? And that takes sacrifice, which is essential to genuine friendship and love. Now, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Friendships are important to everyone, aren't they? But they're especially important to Jesus, because actually he's the creator of friendship. He's got that final meal with his mates, and he knows that 10 of those mates will be going off and changing the world because of what he's taught them, because of what they grasp in their hearts. And if you need to know more about what they did, because it's amazing, then read the book of Acts. And Jesus was seeking that intimate, tight, deep friendship relationship with his disciples, and therefore us, because we're his disciples today. And he's telling his friends about friendship, but it goes under the name of obedience. And how many of us like to be fully obedient in life? I don't. I know that Alex doesn't. You know, it's built into us, isn't it? But primarily, we're instructed to love each other. So what does friendship look like? You know, our life should be characterized by obedience to Jesus. No one's perfect, but as we grow in obedience to Jesus, we experience different levels, different degrees of friendships. Now, some of us have got casual friends, haven't we? We must have, that we occasionally see in the classroom or in the workplace, but we don't know a lot about them. We might have friends that we go out with socially. We might have a close friend or a really intimate, strong relationship with each other. Depending on the love and loyalty that I have for you and you have for me, depends on that strength and that degree of friendship. Try to put it a different way, okay? If you join the army, beware. Because for the first 6 or 8 or 12 weeks of your life, you're in your basic training. You've got a sergeant or drill master or whatever you want to call him, and you're the little private, and you will get all sorts yelled out at you. Why? Because he's trying to teach the private to be a slave, to obey instructions without question, without the reasons why. So in your training and in that building of that relationship, the sergeant says, dig a hole. You dig a hole, however wide, long and deep he tells you to. And when you've finished it, if he tells you to dig it back in again, you fill it back in again. If that was me, I'd be a little bit frustrated then, thinking, well, what was the point of all of that? But actually, they're trying to knock all of that thinking out of you so that when you're in a real intense situation, you obey without question and you act. That's how they team and, you know, stay alive. So that sergeant isn't sharing with his private his hopes, his dreams, his longings, his frustrations. But actually, maybe he goes down to the gym and you as the private are there doing your workouts. And so as you're doing your workouts together, you start to get to know each other and you begin to share on a deeper friendship level. And suddenly you're not a slave anymore. You are his friend. But he might not treat the other privates like that because you've got a different relationship. Does that make sense? So God is not wanting us to be slaves. He's wanting us to be friends. No, we've got a friend request from Jesus. As we get to know him more, he lets us know his plans, his purposes. He shares his thinking with us, his motivation for doing things. I don't know about you, but I think that's cool. That's an awesome privilege. We come to know his heart and his mind, and that's how relationships with each other should be as well. That as I'm getting to know you better, You might be getting to know some of my warts and all, but that's okay because you're loving me with agape love, I hope. We begin to hear the voice of God more clearly. Our thoughts become more like his. So, you know, in that battle of what's my calling, God? My calling is to love one another, and my calling is to love him and to go. Simple. Gets rid of all the rest of the anxiety. We begin to carry out his purposes here on earth as they are in heaven. He expresses his love to us in new and different ways. That's what I'm learning. And if I'm obedient to him, there's nothing that can get in the way with that. And it should grow me. It should move me forward. No, I didn't choose God. I hadn't even thought whether he existed when I didn't know him. He chased after me. He put people around me everywhere I went who were full of him. It got a bit annoying at times, but he was persistent and relentless in chasing after me. Now, in Jesus' day, somebody who kind of was renowned for knowing about God would be called a rabbi. And this rabbi were a group of people where, you know, we're up here and the rest of the people are down there in their knowledge and experience of God. And it would be unheard of in that day for a rabbi to turn around to Charles and say, Charles, will you come after me? Will you follow me, please? Unheard of. The rabbis expected you to choose them and to become a follower of them. But Jesus broke all of that, like he does, because he just loves to stir things up, to bring about his kingdom. He, unlike the other rabbis, went and sought out his disciples. You know, Peter fishing in the boat. Oi, you, mate, come follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. No? So he broke that mold. He has called every single one of us to follow after him. But he gives us that choice. He gives us that freedom to make that choice and decision or not. So if ever you hear someone say, I found God, they're lying. Because none of us, in our own efforts, as human beings, can find God. He finds us. So if someone's telling you that, you turn around to them and say, well, I don't know what God you found, because the God who is the God of all truth can't be found by man. He comes and finds us. Some refer to him as the hound of heaven. No, he chases us down and he captures our heart. And then, again, that verse, those verses end with that command, love one another. So if we haven't got it in verse 12, and it still hasn't come through in 13 to 16, he's saying it again when we hit verse 17. You know, God has taken me on a huge journey, and it began with my being able to love myself, not hate myself, to not want to be like anyone else. Not to be somewhere else, but to be in his presence. To see myself through his eyes. To see you through his eyes and not my blurred, tinted lenses. Because if I can't love myself and I can't receive God's love for me, that unconditional love, then how can I love you? And if I can't love you, then how can I love the community that he's put us in? How can I show that love? And it's not that love of going up to someone, hi, I really love you. I think you're great. It's going up to someone and giving them time and attention. I'm here for you. I'm listening. And it's amazing then what God can do with that. So if I am being critical of myself or of others here, if you're with me out in my workplace, if I'm being judgmental in any way, if I have or I am thinking and acting selfishly, if what comes out of my mouth comes out in a manner or with a tone that could be better, family, get alongside me. Love me with that agape love. Don't judge me. That's God's, not mine. And I've been judged because of Jesus. Walk alongside me. Don't cut me off. Be patient with me. Don't be talking to others about me. Because actually the Bible calls that gossip. You know, unless it is because you're saying to someone who really knows that, but how do I get alongside them? How do I love them? And how do I love them out of that place that they're in? Then that's okay, but there's a real fine line there. And forgive me if I'm in conversation with you and then I try to change it because perhaps I'm feeling like I could be going down a route of negativity or gossip or slander. And forgive me if I make an excuse and physically leave you. It will be because I'm trying to travel that route of loving others with that agape love, to love others as God loves them, to see them how he sees them, to be a true and loyal friend. So as I was preparing, it was a real huge wrestle because I felt God wanted to say something to me and something to all of us. So here it goes, right? If you consider yourselves part of Rugeley Community Church family, or you're on the edge of joining us, then welcome to our family. We are not perfect because there is no such perfect family in existence. We won't always get things right first time. We won't always realise that you need help. We won't always find it easy to say exactly how we feel, what we think, what we need. But we're a family that God is knitting together. And he knits us together with that agape love. And he challenges me, are you going to love him with that agape love? We've all been chosen specifically by God to be a part of this family right now, together, chosen by him, appointed by him for such a time as this. Now, it might get you excited, eager to build relationships. You might be a bit like me, that actually I'm still learning how to build deeper relationships. Because when you're an army brat, you live somewhere for maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, you move on. So you learn to do things shallow, not deeply. But you might be feeling a little upset at the moment, a little confused, a little lonely, a little out of place, nose has been put out of joint, wondering if you're in the right place, if you made the right choice, decision. Now, if someone's upset you, let it go. Because the only person that you're damaging at the end of the day is yourself. They won't know about it. If you're here today, then God is saying to you to stay, to dig in, to get with this imperfect family, because I need you and you need me, you poor things, in order to grow, okay? To really learn to love each other with that unconditional love is to give of ourselves in whatever size, shape, form that is. I actually need you to be rubbing me up the wrong way sometimes, because actually that's how God rubs our edges smooth. Is that easy? Nah. Is it painful at times? Yeah. But actually, I can come back to him and he takes that pain away. I want to be part of a family that is honest, caring, sharing, real with each other, trusting each other. Now, God put the orphans, me, some of you, in this family. He chose it. Are there times when I think, oh, God? Yeah, there are. But actually, when I go back to him, he then challenges me in that, and he changes me. And it's not just that we all learn to get on. It's because he wants his kingdom to advance. He wants to see the promises that he's whispered to you as individuals, and he has whispered to every single one of you, whether you realise that it's him or not. There are promises he's spoken over us as individuals, as a church, as Rugeley community, in our towns and villages. He wants his glory to fall, that which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And guess what? He wants to do that through us. He wants those out there to be here. And I'm not talking about in this amazing building that he's given us, because if you don't know the story about this building, you come and ask us afterwards, because it is God all the way through, even to where Rugeley are complaining about the delay in the flood events barrier. That is God's perfect timing for us. That's why it wasn't built. He wants us as family together here. He wants the lonely to know that they are not alone, that the homeless can find a shelter, that the hopeless can know his hope, that the fatherless have all of you guys, whatever age you are, from Washi, okay? There are guys that God will want you to get alongside as a brother, to encourage them and to love them, because you're ace and he's done so much in you and he wants to do so much more. And he doesn't discount you because you are young. And that is the same for Leon and Mara and Oki and Phoebe and Izzy and every other one of you whose names I don't know or don't remember, Danny and James. You know, from the youngest to I won't pick on who I think the oldest is, because I might have got it wrong, you never know. But you know, men, you are to be husbands, brothers, fathers, women. We're not left out of this. We are to be mothers, sisters, aunts, because that's what family are. That's what family do. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated, didn't we, Wendy and Dave joining the leadership team. We had a little bit of a prayer party and a bit of coffee afterwards. They were joining with their friends, Richard and Jacqueline, Angie and Jane, and then Chris and Liz are mixed into that there too. No, they're friends. Do they know each other through and through? No. Will there be times when they disappoint each other? I'm sure there will be. Will there be times when we're all celebrating together? I know that we are. But they've got to build those friendships that are built on that agape love. And guess what? There are friends too. It's not a them and an us. It's us together. And we need to be building friendships with them. And we need to be building friendships with each other. That's our challenge. And then Tony and Kay and Dave and Julie were with us, weren't they? They're friends. They've got to, Dave, I think, knew Dave and introduced him to Richard. They've got to know each other because they've spent time together. And we were encouraged, weren't we, that we're to build relationship one with the other, but also we're to hold each other accountable. And I don't know about you, but that word obedience and that word accountable are two words. I'm like, oh God, really? But accountable is, so how are you doing today, Lise? I could say, I'm fine. But I could talk about my spies. And that's how I'm doing spiritually, how I'm doing physically, how I'm doing in my head, intellectually, emotionally. No, can feel fine or not on different levels. But that's key to deeper friendships. People don't and won't come here because of the ace worship that we've got. We are blessed, guys. The great preachers, the fabulous coffee, or whatever. People will come and people will stay and people will join us because they are making friends. And if we're coming in to a group of people and we're sitting here feeling lonely, there is something wrong and we need to change it. What society, what community want are honest friendships. They might not know it, but they want friendships that are based on that agape love. Do you know what? I'm going to be your friend, even though we don't come from the same part of the country. Though you say Bath. I mean, who says that? It's Bath. Come on. No, we're responsible to take that initiative and show love for one another. Because when we're doing that, others around see it. And actually, others around think, I want a bit of that. Because that's what I saw before I was a Christian. I saw people accepting each other, not having weird expectations of each other, accepting people how they were. It wasn't the list of rules and regulations that I'd seen from other Christians. And there was that assurance and that confidence, because when we're sure that God loves us, when we're sure that Jesus is our best friend ever, well, nothing can touch us then, can it? No, we talk about wanting our culture to be one of heaven, being on earth now. It's not a place, you know, it's a choice that we have to make. Just like I choose each day and each minute of every day. Am I going to listen to the truth of God, or am I going to listen to the lies of society? We want heaven on earth to be one of acceptance. And God's begun his work in us there, hasn't he? He is a good, good Father. We were reminded of that earlier, who always completes the work that he has begun in our lives. So he's starting with us here, in here, and in each other's hearts, not for us to keep it to ourselves, not that we have a nice, warm, fuzzy time as we come here together. Because his challenge is, will we give up our lives for others, for the person sat next to you, in front of you, the row behind? And by that I mean it could be your time, your preferences, your middle-classedness, personal hopes, dreams, finances. Will we be open to the best friend ever, that we get to know his heart? Because when we get to know his heart, it can prompt us we show a bit of love to Ivan, send him a text? Be as simple as that. We don't know, do we? Will we trust that Abba has given and is giving us everything that we need not to live happily ever after within the cozy comfort of these walls, but as real friends who love each other as God loves them, that we can serve each other and that we can go out and serve others and love them and love them and love them unconditionally. Jesus is my best friend ever. He is my best ever lover. Nobody can outdo him. And he wants to be your best friend too. So if you don't know him, he's longing to love you. He's longing to get to know you. Or you don't know him in the way that I've just been speaking about, your opportunity today to start that journey. If you're struggling in your relationships with us here, with others, today's the day where we can get God's help in that. End of.